Good afternoon, welcome everyone. Today, basically you are watching Just Join IT and we are streaming live. As you can hear, today it will be in English. This time we meet to talk about mobile testing automation. In a moment, we will be watching a presentation by Alina Pochoryla, who is here today with us. She works as a tester in SPO software from Poznań. And basically, feel free to ask any questions in the chat boxes. We observe both chat boxes on Facebook and on YouTube. In the end, we'll have time to answer your questions. And yeah, that's all from my side. Welcome, Alina. The stage is yours and good luck.
Thank you. Hi all and welcome. I'm Alina and I've been working as a QA for almost, 3 years now, mainly with web and mobile applications. And let's go to the presentation. Next slide, please. So our agenda for today is the following. I'd love to tell you about 2022 test automation trends, various approaches to automation of mobile applications, the ones I tried out before starting writing automated tests for my current project. And also I will present the framework I use to write automated tests written from the scratch. It is a custom framework. And the following slide then. So let's start with test automation trends in 2022. And I'm not going to speak only about mobile automation. As you can see in the list, it is one of the trends, actually. So let's have a look on the list. Please keep in mind that those are just general trends on the IT market, supported by my personal opinion and previous experience. That's not something I necessarily agree or disagree with. So, and as you can see, the first point is microservices and API testing, and it will definitely accelerate this year. So-called monolith architecture of mobile applications is becoming legacy from what the majority of you have probably noticed. Instead, microservice architecture is becoming more and more popular and it's becoming widely used. As you probably know, most applications have the following three-tier architecture. There is UI, API, and database ends. However, when application matures and grows with new features, they become one big monolith, and it becomes more difficult to deploy application more frequently, since each new feature requires much time and effort to be worked on. So microservice architecture is a good solution nowadays, and more and more projects and companies start using them. It structures application as a collection of services that are highly maintainable, independently deployable, and built around business capabilities owned by small teams and also around business needs. So such applications are highly scalable and with better performance, definitely. So companies also start investing into API testing more and more. So I do believe that nowadays a modern tester, not only who works as an automator, should know at least basics of API testing. Then the following point is integration testing. And here I would love to start with the so-called testing pyramid, the following slide. For those of you who do not remember how it looks like, so at the very bottom there are unit tests, then service and integration testing, and at the bottom there is UI testing. So nowadays some argue that testing pyramid is dead or kind of becoming legacy, but that's obviously not the truth. A lot of services in microservice architecture is still valid, and services in the middle layer, as you can see in the picture, are still super important to test because applications consist of many microservices, and testing these services and interactions or intercommunications among them is still top priority for many teams and for many companies. Integration testing evaluates application components on a broader level than unit testing, and much better than UI testing, definitely. It also ensures that we talk with database, file systems, network appliances correctly and receive correct and accurate answers. The previous slide, please. So the following point is cloud growth, definitely thanks to COVID. More people switch their technology from in-house to a cloud-based solutions, and it is clear why. It is not as it is used to be in the past anymore, where everything was in-house and you developed everything basically from the scratch. Nowadays, you take open source libraries, which are built in clouds, and start using them for your own purposes, depending on the needs of your projects. Cloud spending rose 37% to $29 billion in 2020, actually, and it is and it keeps growing. The following point is testing distributed cloud systems. Actually, to be honest, testing this requires certain knowledge and techniques and tools that I think will be popular in 2022. There is a tool called Test Container. I've tried it once, and if you are interested in testing distributed cloud systems, that's actually one of the very good tools. That's basically the library that uses Docker containers within your test, and you're able to provide external dependencies and distribute the code architecture like databases, mocks, streams, anything you can Dockerize, you can contain now in your test. So what is cool about it is obviously when you use cloud services, you have many dependencies and you cannot test those external dependencies. But technologies like this one can allow you to create self-contained tests and environments for them that really mimics real world conditions till it gets to production. So there are many times when bugs are found only on production, but using this kind of technologies, such issues could be found during testing and can be not deployed to production, basically. You could also use some other tools, definitely, for testing distributed cloud systems, such as LocalStack, or just Google it. You will find a huge amount of other tools, for sure. The following point is not in the presented list. However, however, it is something I think worth mentioning for sure. It's correct terminology and using the word pipeline instead of software development lifecycle. Now, in many projects, from what I have noticed, they use the word pipeline instead of SDLC, which makes sense to some extent because as we go cloud native and we try to accelerate the speed we deliver our software for it to be faster and of higher quality, even in very rare cases, releases could happen, I even do not know, every few hours, but again, in very rare cases. Also, requirements might change because let's say business has changed its mind or something like that. So perhaps using the term SDLC is not a correct approach nowadays. Everything is constantly changing and it's not longer a traditional life cycle. The following point is the rise of non-functional testing and, of course, non-functional requirements, because clients want their applications and their services to be faster, more user-friendly. So accessibility, security, performance testing is going to grow and become more used than ever before. The following point is codeless or low-code automation. Because as we try to shape software quicker and faster, we need to do more different kinds of testing. And obviously, one of such kinds of tests is exploratory testing. At this point, more people get involved into the whole process. That are not necessarily developers or people with technical background. So that is why codeless or low-code automation will flourish as well. Resilience testing or chaos testing will be more used as well. For those of you who do not know, that's type of a testing performed to evaluate how an application will perform under stress or in, let's say, chaotic circumstances. Then also site reliability testing, browser-based performance testing, AI-assisted automation, and GitHub Copilot or DeepBlue are some very good tools for this kind of testing. Also, the user experience. User experience has always been very important for clients, for business. However, now it becomes even more important. And such software as telemetry is super useful when it comes to UX improvements and matrices. So telemetry is the automated communication processes from multiple data sources, mainly used for improving customer experience, monitor security and application health. It's measured through the use of monitoring tools that gather data in real time, so that's kind of cool. And the last point, but not least, is mobile automation testing. As mobile applications become more prevalent, there is more pressure to make them fast, responsive, and more user-friendly, definitely. The next slide, please. And the next one. So, Espeo software cherishes very much each customer. So depending on their needs, we develop strategy and approaches to challenges we face. And one of such challenges I personally faced was the automation of the project I'm currently dedicated to. So what actually automation means for Espeo software and for the current project I'm working on. So first of all, having tests for Android and iOS, having a testing framework, following best practices, writing understandable and reusable tests, following behavior-driven development approach, and about it I will tell you a little bit later. Following page object design pattern in order to store view specific elements, using Kotlin for writing logic. Why Kotlin, I will tell you also a little bit later. Having screenshots for failed tests, having possibility to create manager-friendly, colorful reports, understandable for literally everyone, and execute tasks on multiple devices and in parallel. The following slide, please. So before start writing tests, I tried out three approaches. Here on the slide, you can see four because I decided to split Android native frameworks and iOS native frameworks. However, there are only three approaches. The first one is Test Project Robot Framework, then Android and iOS native frameworks, and the last one is custom framework, which, as you can probably guess, was the most problematic one and the most challenging one, but on the other hand, the most interesting one as well, because it requires knowledge of various design patterns, such as page object, factory design, facade, singleton, and knowledge and, of course, understanding of object-oriented programming concepts. So I must tell you that it was the most difficult one. The following slide, please. So let's start with the test project. I'm pretty sure the majority of you has heard about it. That's basically end-to-end automation tool that provides capabilities to automate web, API, and also mobile applications. It is an open source friendly tool built on top of Selenium and Apium. And of course, as every tool, it also has its pros and cons. And the pros are the following. The biggest one, definitely, that's that it is free of cost and you would not need to pay for it. It has many add-ons with additional functionalities. It has the recorder with many capabilities like element actions, element locations and stuff. Possibility to add team members. So if you are not the only tester on your project, you could involve other testers to write tests. It can easily be integrated with DevOps. And of course, a huge advantage of it is that it is supported on Windows, Mac, Android, and iOS. However, there are some significant disadvantages. And I do believe that Test Project is a good tool, but for probably smaller projects. So separate test suites should be created for different platforms, which is obviously a disadvantage because you cannot write test suite for Android and then write the same test suite for iOS. It also has quite limited functionality. For example, absence of loops and conditions, that's quite a disadvantage. Some features such as scroll or swipe can take a lot of time to execute, and it's quite difficult, to be honest. It's not flexible. It can be hectic to use a codeless path, and features like swipe till element does not work for mobile applications at all. So that's a huge minus for this tool and the generally approach with a robot framework. The following slide, please. That is how to the right of the screen you can see a pretty simple test, the logging process, and how it would look like with the using test project. And to the left, you can see a quite colorful and nice report. I don't have any objections against that. But taking into consideration all of the mentioned disadvantages, I still believe that it is not the best approach to automating tests for mobile applications. The following slide, please. So let's speak about Android and its native frameworks, Espresso and UI Automator. So Espresso is a testing framework used for testing the UI of Android applications written in XML. And UI Automator is quite similar to Espresso, but also with the possibility to manage the device. And of course, there are pros and cons, and pros are that it is clearer, that it has clearer and more organized tests, and much less boilerplate code. By saying boilerplate, I mean sections of code that are repeated in multiple places with no or just little variation. And cons are the following. Views created in Jetpack Compose is a new toolkit for creating modern views on Android. Will be tested in the Jetpack Compose testing library, not Espresso. Tests may be totally replaced by Compose testing library after migrating the app to Jetpack Compose. And the biggest disadvantage from my perspective as a tester is the fact that three toolkits need to be learned to write UI tests on Android. And if you do not have enough time or experience, it might be quite challenging. So that is why I decided not to proceed with this approach. The following slide, please. That's just an example of a test written in Espresso. For those of you who are more interested in it, you will have access to this presentation and you will be able to have a closer look at it. The following slide, please. Now a few words about iOS and Swift, Qwik and Nimble native frameworks. Qwik is a behavior-driven development framework for Swift and Objective-C, and Nimble is a matcher framework for Swift and Objective-C. Pros are quite clear and understandable, the same basically as for Espresso and UI Automator. Clearer and more organized tests and much less boilerplate code, and better implementation of handling asynchronous tests. However, when it comes to disadvantages, first of all, it needs more time rethinking and rewriting when migrating from XCTest. XCTest is a framework that allows to create and run unit tests, performance and UI tests for Xcode projects. And here also a huge disadvantage is that a tester must know Swift. And again, if you do not have time or you have other responsibilities on your project, it might be quite time consuming. So that was not a good choice for me as well. The next slide, please. And now I'm going to tell you about the custom framework I wrote together and with the help of my tech lead, to whom I'm very grateful. And it is called Exito. Please do not try to Google it, because you will find only the Spanish word, which stands for success. So what is under the hood of Exito, and why I decided to choose the most difficult and the most challenging one? So first of all is the Cucumber and Gherkin for creating understandable and human readable test scenarios. Gradle as a build framework, JUnit 5 for running tests, Log4j2 as a logging framework, Allure for creating colorful, understandable, and first of all, manager-friendly tests, reports, Selenium and its wrapper Selenite for manipulation with the app and checks, validations, the combination of Selenite and Allure in order to create screenshots of reports for failed tests. Kotlin as the main language, Appium, of course, as a framework for conducting tests on various platforms, and also Config library for testing localized applications without the need to modify test scenarios. Because if you are going to automate tests for your mobile application and the client at some point will decide to add a few more languages, without the config library you will not be able to use the same test scenarios. You will need to rewrite them from the scratch, which is not a very good practice. I would call it that way. The following slide, please. So let's start with Cucumber and Gherkin. And generally with a BDD approach. BDD stands for behavior-driven development, and that's basically the approach that allows business analysts, testers, and basically it, the whole concept of this approach appeared from the fact that it was supposed that business would write those test cases and test scenarios in simple text language. However, sometimes, from what I have noticed, testers are divided into two categories. Some of them support BDD and do believe that it is indeed a behavior-driven development approach. However, some of them believe that it is a BS-driven development approach, which might make sense to some extent, because let's be honest, business does not want to write test scenarios. They are only interested in reports at the end of the day. So that's quite a question for the discussion, basically. But let's go back to the topic. So Cucumber, it's the tool that supports behavior-driven development. And what is one of the advantages of this of BDD is the fact that tests could be written in literally any language, in the Russian language, the Japanese language, the Polish language. It depends on the business needs. However, I do believe that the most appropriate language would be the English language. Gherkin, which is a set of grammar rules that makes plain text structured enough for Cucumber to understand. And of course, there are three main keywords and two additional keywords that might be used when you write such test scenarios. So those are given. Used to describe initial context of the system, kind of precondition. When, used to describe an event or an action, and then used to describe the expected outcome or result. And end and but as additional keywords. What is important to mention here is that it is not allowed to have same expressions for different Gherkin keywords, else it is not going to work out. So the following example is incorrect. Given I have a potato and I have a potato, then I have a potato, the system will not get it and you will have an error, literally. So messages written in Gherkin are mapped to expressions defined by Cucumber steps written in Kotlin, and which contain some logic and use page object to access page or view data. The following slide, please. That's the example from the framework of such test scenarios. You will be able to have a closer look at it after our webinar. The following slide, please. Gradle. Gradle is, as the majority of you know, build automation tool that is responsible for project dependencies. And basically, Gradle defines two custom commands, test Android and test iOS, to start platform-specific tests. And that is how it is written in code in the Axeter framework. The following slide, please. JUnit 5, there's not much about it, just the information that this framework is responsible for running Cucumber tests from command line, and it is configured via a Gradle build framework, and the implementation in code looks like you can see on the attached screenshot. The following one, please. That's probably my favorite one, and it's Allure. Allure is multi-language test reporting tool that provides clear graphical reports for customers, vendor, business, you name it. Reports are generated every time tests are run. After that, test results are automatically reported to Allure, and then in order to create a visualized test execution report, we would need to start Allure server via Allure serve command from the current project folder. Allure will attach screenshots and page source to failed tests. So currently, the following features are not supported, however, they are possible to be implemented. Scenarios will be grouped by features. The more scenarios, the more groups. And Allure also will show trends depending on the execution. It will show the stability of the app, first of all. And in the current version, it's missing because CI/CD is required for it, and it is something we're currently working on. Also, Allure reports will contain detailed information on steps, scenarios, and features. So it is quite detailed and understandable. And I think that it is one of the most useful tools when it comes to reporting. The following slide, please. So here are a few examples of how Allure reports might look like. There are failed tests, fail past tests, and also those tests that are failed. They are failed due to various reasons. Some steps are missing for some of them. For others, steps are defined incorrectly. It depends on what is required. You will also be able to have a closer look at it a little bit later on. The following slide, please. Selenite, Selenium and its wrapper. Based on Selenium, it acts as a wrapper with a better and a more convenient API, with which requires less coding and basically is easier to understand. It supports a nice validation mechanism, such as should be, should not be, based on specific conditions, of course, and has advanced timeout support. Selenite also supports page object pattern and works nicely with Android Fine by annotations. The following slide. Those are just some of the examples from the framework. If you are interested, please have a look at it. The following one. And tests generally are written on three layers. The first one, the highest one, are Cucumber tests, which are human readable, understandable basically for everyone. It depends and requires level 2 and described with files extension features. To the right of the screen, you can see some of the examples, such as favorites.feature, privacy policy. So when you have a look at that, you pretty much understand what is what those test scenarios are about. The following slide, please. The second level is creation of steps. Every step represents particular steps or actions that can be performed on a view from the app using Gherkin expressions. In my case, those are Kotlin classes. Each possible step is described with expressions which will be used in Cucumber tests. They depend on interactions with actual elements that are located on a particular view. Tests are followed and done via third level. And what is super important to remember here is the fact that only steps contain validation logic. To the right of the screen, you can see the example of such test. To the left, you can see examples of such steps, such as feed view steps, common steps, apartment search view steps. So basically, you give the name of the view and then the name step. So even a person who does not know anything about programming could guess what it is all about and which view we're speaking about here. The following slide, please. And the last, the deepest level, I would call it that way, the creation of page objects. Every page object represents a view from the app, and those are Kotlin classes. It follows and implements a page object model or design pattern, you name it. Has information about all available elements on the page. Each element is located by XPath, ID, or any other supported selector. I actually use Apium Inspector for that matter, and provides actions for each element on a page. So to the right of the screen, you can see the example of such test, and to the left, you can see how it is, how it looks like, and how it is named within the whole framework. When it comes to creation of page objects, it can have optional actions and items, and can return actions and elements themselves. In order to finish the presentation, I would love to add that in the future, I want to add more features to the framework, such as web automation, because I wanted to support web automation as well, and support recording videos of failed tests. However, it will require more time and knowledge, definitely. The last slide, please. So thank you very much for your attention. I hope it was useful, and I'm ready to answer some of your questions.
Okay, like, thank you for the presentation. It was like very information dense, let's say. So like a lot of stuff. I'm not an Android mobile tester. I'm front-end engineer. So for me, most of this stuff is just new. I understand the Gherkin language. Like, I know how it works, mm-hmm. like, so all the behavior-driven development testing, this is fine. There is one question that wasn't answered during the presentation. What was the biggest challenge in combining all of this stuff? Because like the first two approaches mm-hmm. were kind of simple. Like when I look at the
right?
table, it's okay, it's fine.
Right?
And then you listed all of the items and it's like, oh my God, how much effort did it actually require to combine all of that?
Actually, it requires much knowledge, much effort, and much help to some extent from your peers, your colleagues. If you do not know, you just go and Google it. If Google does not know, then someone has to know.
Okay.
Then you just go to your colleagues from other companies. Probably they know the answers. But of course, it wouldn't be possible without my tech lead, as I have already mentioned. And why I wanted to present it here at the very beginning was the fact that when our client came and told us that they wanted automation, of course, they did not know what automation really meant. So at that
That's a common scenario.
Yes, so. And that at that point, neither did I actually know what it meant, and Google was not of much help. I can tell you, YouTube, other blogs. So much help from more senior colleagues was required at that point.
So basically you have a team behind this whole setup of testing, like
yes, definitely. I think that for one person it wouldn't be possible to do that in such a short term period of time, but yeah, sure, without help it would not be possible, definitely.
So with this kind of investment, I can believe that this kind of framework is just like a core of your actual automation.
Yes.
Right now in the company.
Right.
Like I would love to ask about like onboarding new developers, because like you are looking for new developers, right?
Right, developers and QAs as well. So you're very welcome. Espeo Software is a great company, so you're always welcome here. Come to us and I will teach you how to automate mobile tests.
Oh, that's a very, very good knowledge. I think we shared the link to the page on Just Join IT containing all the SPO software job ads, let's say, all the offers that are actually current right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it from my side. So do you have anything extra to say?
No, actually not. I think that I have presented everything I had at that matter.
Okay, so thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. Like this was a lot of information. And for you all, like I wish you a great weekend. It's coming soon, hopefully. Bye.
Thank you. Take care.